for some politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Well. Guess what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's me, Mr. FSP. Don't do because I do it for you. And I'm a little bit blindsided because I took my time and I was just not quite ready getting my stuff together to talk about what we're going to talk about today. First thing I'm going to talk about here is there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people, that you look up to, you listen to, you want to be like, you emulate. You do things that probably you're not very happy with. But they're still your heroes. Or, you know, someone that you think is worth your time or someone that you've invested in. Some of these people can be your friends, your family members, whatever. But there comes a time in your maturation process as a businessman, as a, you know, whatever, that you have to say, you know what, no, this isn't working, it's time to move on. And, you know, I'm one of those guys that feel that way, that when stuff happens, you got to be ready to roll with the punches. And I'm only saying this because I think that there's a time in our lives when we have to just say, you know what, enough's enough, grow up or learn to be a better person. So when I come across situations that are not conducive to the way I am or what I do, I put my foot down. I have to. I'm not a softy, I'm not a hard ass, but I have to put my foot down. And I will be. And I will be doing that quite often. I just wanted to get that off my chest before I got the show started. But it's Saturday. This is the FSP show, Fantasy Sports and Politics, where normally myself and JKT and Money do what we do because we do it for you. Today we're going to talk about the Yasuo Puig situation in immigration, the NFL draft. Of course, I'm going to talk about some mixed martial arts, UFC, and all the other good stuff. And the NBA playoffs start today. Matter of fact, I believe the game just started. But I want to discuss the insane mission Dodgers outfielder Puig undertook in order to make it to the United States. What are the political implications? What was the Dodgers' role in the process? How did Puig and the rest make it into the country undetected and then gain citizenship within 3 days? 3 days. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. Those and other questions will be discussed on today's show. Also, we're going to talk about the NFL draft since it's May 8th this year and who's flying up the board and who is tumbling down the board. As I said, the NBA playoffs are happening today with some great matchups. And I was looking at some of the lines, and it's astounding to me how some of these games are predicted to be won by 7 points or more. And I'm like, are you crazy? I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the UFC action tonight on Fox. number two, it's going to be heavyweights tonight. The number two, Fabrico Verdum, faces off against number three contender heavyweight, Travis Brown on Fox. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on that. So today's a packed show. I'm going to talk to you guys on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where players win and winners play. Because I'm going to bring in my co-host if he gets it on today. What's up, JC?
Hey, what's happening? Can't wait, can't wait. I'm kicking ass this weekend. Here we go. How you doing, my man?
No, you're not. You're losing.
No, I'm not losing. It's wishful thinking. It's not over. It's tied up right now, and no, your ass mine. Your ass is mine.
Okay, that sounds like a very homophobic statement. I will not talk about that. However,
you know what I'm talking about, so don't even go there. You know what I'm talking about.
Jerry.
Yes, sir.
I wish you the best, but I don't think you're going to be able to take care of me in fantasy baseball, my friend. It's all over for you. But, you know, since we're on baseball, I got to talk about something real quick before we get into fantasy baseball.
No problem.
I don't usually.
You can always delay it. No problem. You want to delay the inevitable?
Really?
We can do that. Not problem today. I'm feeling good. It's a great day out today. It's finally warmed up to at least the 60s. I know that's nothing where you're at, but at least it's at the 60s today, and maybe tomorrow in Jersey, which is a godsend. But, you know, you guys are used to that out there in that California weather.
Does someone sound a little salty?
You are correct. You are correct. I'm not even going to deny it. You are correct.
I mean, what's going on? What's happening, Tom?
I'm feeling good today, man. I'm feeling good today. If you ever go on YouTube, Pharrell did something. I think he did something unique because I really liked love the song "Happy." And if you go on YouTube, he has an hour long videos of different parts of the day and night of "Happy" with different people dancing during the day and during the night. And so, if you like the song and you like to get a little entertainment. If you can get used to listen to the song, and each one of these YouTube clips are an hour, like one's and then 1 a.m., one's at 12 a.m., one's at 5 a.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 4 p.m. There's different hour-long videos starting at whatever time of the day or night, like I said. And they have people dancing on the sidewalk or wherever else they're dancing, and, you know, some people that are watching the video, you know, the general public, one person may be dancing or two people may be dancing. Some of them join in, you know, it's just like a man on the street. They're dancing on the street. Let me put it that way. It's pretty entertaining.
Oh.
And I watched several videos this morning because I really like that song, and I can't get enough of it. Let me put it that way. It was just I'm just feeling in a happy mood today. Knowing also that I'm going to kick somebody's rear end that is so confident. But that's okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. This is your show. Do your thing.
You're just all uppity today. Okay. All right. I got Jose Reyes ready to play, so I think I'm going to bring Jose Reyes onto the field.
He'll play a week before he gets hurt again. But that's okay. Go ahead.
But in the meantime and in between time, I need you to do me a favor, young man.
What's that?
I need you to break down what the money line means in gambling.
In what?
What is the money line? In gambling, what does the money line mean?
What is the money line?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm not a gambler, so I don't know. I'm not a gambler. I do not know. Because, I'm telling you.
I'm about to tell you. Because you think you can beat me. Because you think you can beat me. That's why you're a gambler.
God. Yeah, well, okay, you tell me, Victor. You're dying to tell me, so you go right ahead. Enjoy yourself.
Oh.
Go right ahead. I want you to get everything you could possibly get out over the next few days, whatever it is, whether we talk to each other. Quite naturally, we talk to each other today. But maybe you call in tomorrow and we get a little last parting shot before the last matchup for tomorrow. Doesn't make a difference, but I want you to enjoy and get everything you can possibly get out. And really, I want you to really, I'm serious, I want you to really feel good about yourself, because as high as you get over the weekend, that's how low you're going to fall come Monday.
Mr. Taylor, I don't want you to be so uncomfortable that you can't.
I'm not uncomfortable.
Okay.
I'm happy. Listen to the song Happy, and you can't faze me. You cannot faze me. I mean, that just is the epitome of how I think. Absolutely the epitome
so
of how
happy.
I think. Always believe that glass is half full.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway. Let's get on to some topics that aren't so happy, at least not for you and for a lot of people, which is the Yashiro Puig situation. Now, I know you read it. You read most of it, if not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to do is to break down, you know, you can take a minute or two, whatever it is you need to do, break down to the people what you read off of ESPN, and then we can both give our thoughts on it. I have my thoughts, you have your thoughts, but I'm going to tackle it from the political side as well as a sports side.
Basically, it's this. Yasiel Puig and a boxer, and I forget his name now, and whoever else made arrangements to come to this country by any means necessary. So he tied up with some unsavory people that promised to get him to this country. He got kidnapped, if I'm not mistaken, by some unsavory people, and some unsavory people rescued him with the understanding that he was supposed to give up a certain amount of his salary in payment for him getting to Mexico. So once he established residency in Mexico, he could be declared a free agent versus coming straight from Cuba to the United States, who he would be a property of whatever team. So he was able to go to Mexico and was declared a free agent, and he got rescued because he got kidnapped, and they threatened to chop his take extremities. And quite naturally, when you do that, you're no longer a pro prospect. And eventually he got to the United States. It gave him a workout. I think that he had a workout in Mexico. Whatever it was, he had a workout, and he signed pretty quickly. And he gained his citizenship within 3 days of getting here, which is phenomenal. So, you know, there had to be a lot of things in place with or arrangements made that he would gain his citizenship and be able to play baseball. Now, supposedly, these people, whoever got him here and he's in place now, are looking for their payday. And he's had a security team, and the Dodgers have been well aware of it since last year when he came up. And they travel with the team to protect him and, I guess, protect any of his teammates that happen to be in the crossfire if anything should happen. It's strange that he was able to get citizenship so quickly. And this is an ongoing story that this guy's got to be looking over his shoulder in and out of the stadium.
Yep.
Because basically his life is threatened if he doesn't, if he hasn't, or if he has or he hasn't paid the money yet. He's on the hoof, so to speak, to pay this money to the people that finally got him to where he's at right now. That's
now,
basically it.
Well, part of it is that he's already paid 20% of his entire contract, which is a $42 million contract, to an organization. So he's
mm-hmm.
done that part. The problem is that it's two organizations that were involved. That's where the problem is now. That, you know, you got two illegal drug cartels operating out of Mexico, Florida, and some in Cuba, you know, that are going to, well, they have been. They've been killing people. Basically, they have been killing people on the basis of, you know, getting this guy here along with a Miss Cuba or a beauty pageant winner and all these other
and
folks.
A boxer, too. I can't remember his name because he's the one that talked to Jeremy Schapp Jr., so I can't recall his name right off the bat, right top of my head.
Yeah, he did the interview,
mm-hmm.
The TV interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is crazy.
Straight
you know?
Out of a movie.
Straight out. Alligators and all this other mess going on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm looking at it like, one, is baseball that important that you're going to be part of a situation? I mean, I'm talking about Major League Baseball now and baseball in general. Is Major League Baseball that important to this country that all of these organizations that showed up for his workout, mind you, let's remember that, because a ton of organizations showed up for this guy's eventual workout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
How in the bloody blue blazes, you know, did they get the information this guy was here in America, going to be in America, understand the ramifications of how he got here, and go through all this, and Major League Baseball has him in there and on a roster and a signed contract in short order without a political investigation?
Very good question.
But, you know, people get smuggled left and right into this country. And when they're caught, you know, they go to jail or whatever the case may be. Ian Gonzalez, remember what happened with him? He was a little refugee kid from Cuba who landed on the shore, stayed with his aunt, uncle, whatever, but some people on the back, whatever the case may be. So he's there. And this whole hubbub about him comes out, and, you know, so on and so forth. What in the world is going on where it's okay for this to take place? That's what I'm missing here. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. But what is going on whereas a Major League Baseball player can have all this stuff happen with no political ramifications?
Well, when you say political ramifications, he doesn't have any affiliation with any team. He's not even affiliated with any minor league team. Okay, so any of these baseball organizations are just looking at a talent. They can say, we're just looking at a talent. We don't know how he got here, as long as he got here legally. And apparently whatever what took place was legal enough to get him to the United States, even though it may have been illegal parties that got him to here. Let me put it that way. Otherwise, he would have been quickly deported. Or otherwise, the American government looked the other way.
And that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. It's amazing that these Cuban athletes, and it's more and more seem like more and more are coming to this country very quickly and gaining citizenship very quickly, or I guess a work visa or whatever it is. So there's got to be something, a legal loophole that's been created or that's been in place for such a long time that people are, especially people coming from the Cuban, the country of Cuba, are able to take care of it with the right legal team that's in place, that the professional organizations, regardless of who it is, mainly baseball we're talking about now, are able to tap into them and get the process or get the process going without the organizations getting their hands dirty.
But, Jerry, we just looked at a movie. We just looked at a movie called Draft Day, and I'm going to use Draft Day as an example.
Sure, sure.
Whereas, you know, Kevin Costner had, and this stuff happens in real life, had a certain player had a background check, and they have a security team.
Mm-hmm.
The organization had a security team to, you know, check on these folks to see, okay, well, you know what, maybe there's some red flag that this organization is not able to deal with, therefore we're going to pass on this player at this particular time, whatever this may be. You can't tell me, okay, they probably scouted him while he was in Cuba and knew his talent. Got it. That's fine. Got it. But you cannot tell me that your security team did not advise you of all this information that went on with this guy, or at least some of the illegal and illicit activities that went on to get this guy here. You can't tell me that. And then, you can.
All I can tell you is that whatever legal team that the organization had or the legal team that was involved in getting Pugh here, I can almost guarantee you the legal team said this of the organization, the organization said this. As long as we're not implicated, as long as we're not tied to this and it's all done independently from the organization, and we are not responsible. We're just looking at a talent. I can guarantee you some. Maybe I didn't word it right, but I can guarantee you something like that took place, or someone in the hierarchy of the organizations, especially the Dodgers, said, as long as we're not tied to any of this illicit stuff or supposed illicit stuff that's going on, and we can keep our hands unmuddied from it, I guaranteed that something like that took place. And they're not legally tied to it or a part of it, then it's supposedly all above board. But even though they may have known what's going on, you know, how many times do you see this, Victor? It's all depends on how high a talent level you have. If this guy was a regular guy, that his talent level wasn't all that, it wouldn't be a story because the guy probably wouldn't have made it here, got signed. But this guy's talent level and ceiling is so high that organizations, because they want to sell tickets, because they want to win very badly, and they have pressure from their owners, will sell their soul to the devil to get a top talent besides, I mean, other than someone else trying to get them. So if they don't do it, some other organization, I mean the Dodgers, if the Dodgers don't do it, some other organization was going to pay that money and grab them up and reap the rewards just like the Dodgers have since last year.
Well, then you also have to deal with the issues of, and I'm going to go back to it, the cartels, the two rival cartels. One man is already dead. One man was believed to be an attempt on his life. You got one group saying, we were the first ones to get you out of there, so you're going to pay us money. And then you got the other group saying, well, we got the money. We dealt with the Latino businessman in Miami. And, you know, that's another thing. All these things are coming out. This guy that's in America, that's a Miami-based businessman who has ties to these illegal cartels, was the guy who brokered the entire deal along with a highly wanted individual of the United States. Now, I don't know what's going on as far as, you know, immigration and stuff like that, but I would hope. I know President Obama has a lot on his plate. I know all that. But you got a Justice Department that is supposed to look into these types of things. You know, I might sound like Mac for a minute, but get off your black ass and go do something. Because this leads people like me to believe that if you have the money,
mm-hmm.
you have the power.
Absolutely.
And if you have the power, you can do just about whatever it is you want to do and get
away
with it.
Play the clip.
Oh, you're right. That's what I should do.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
There it is.
I mean, you know, because that's the sign that it tells me. Because I'm an astute person that looks at the entire picture, not just the fact that we have a very talented baseball player here. You know, we've got a situation where you got a talented baseball player, but then you also got a bunch of illegal and illicit traffic. Now, again, this is one person's account, right? This is one person's account. However, if you got bank records and you got all this stuff to go off of, you know, there's something there. When you have organizations that have lawyers suing Yasiel Puig for these things, that means there is documentation that is there, that is to be found. There are
mm-hmm.
three or four cases already pending against this guy because of this situation. You know, and I'm amazed that nothing has been done to Major League Baseball. I know what you said about, you know, these organizations said, as long as we can't be implicated, as long as we can't be, but the morality of it is this. You're willing to, and I understand business. I really understand business. I was talking to my cousin-in-law about this, you know, about how you got to be cold-blooded in business and stuff like that. But this isn't a refugee situation, whereas he's trying to escape because they're going to kill him. And they're going to kill his family because he wants to be an American. No, he's trying to escape so he can play Major League Baseball and put a lot of money in his pocket and take care of his family. I got it. The American dream was built on something like that. However, to circumvent the entire process, not even get a green card or a work visa, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He gets recognized now as a citizen. And he gets paid tons of money. a lot of which he's giving to a illegal cartel.
20% of 40 million. It's 40 million, right? Eight million. 8 million.
He already paid it.
8 million.
Of course. So, in other words, $8 million just went to an illegal organization, and we know about this.
What clip did you just play?
I think I played this one right here.
Absolute power.
Absolutely.
Corrupt. Absolutely.
Well, you got it. What else can I say?
Boom goes the dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line for me is, you know, how in the world are we supposed to look at this and say, you know what, the American government is standing up for the democracy. I read an article on Yahoo the other day, and it was talking about how we as Americans, we live under this cloud that that we live in a democracy, and that we live in a situation that is you know, better than everything, and that's wrong. And I want to bring up something else because it just popped up on TV for me. There's a show on Al Jazeera America. It's called Borderland. It's a four-part series about how illegal immigrants come across the border and make it into America. It's amazing that you can get a camera crew, an American camera crew, within the country and document these guys riding on tops of trains and sneaking through and going through these border cracks and getting into America, but we can't stop it. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you today's one of those shows that, yeah, I love talking sports, I love talking fantasy, I love making money, but this is just one of those shows that had to go political. You know, I'm at a point where I'm not saying every person that comes here illegally is a bad person. I'm not saying they bring a lot of bad or negative behavior. Case in point, the Yasiel Puig situation is people within America, within power, money, and privileged, smuggled a guy and a couple people into the country for a price. These people are now American citizens. And a Major League Baseball, or Major League Baseball, which is a huge, huge organization, whether it's not-for-profit or whatever, had some idea of what was going on, chose not to do anything about it. As Jerry said, tell them what you thought or you think might have been the language from some of these organizations, Jerry. What might they have said?
As long as we're not tied to it, as long as it's an independent operation that won't tie us to it, we're not legally bound. He's a free agent, and he's able to come to the country by whatever means, legally, by a illegal organization, but it's legal, and we're not bound. We're just looking at him as a talent, and we'll sign him as a citizen of Mexico, a free agent, and we're not bound by because we didn't make the arrangements. The arrangements were made independently. Now, my issue is this. Somebody had to get paid some money.
Yep.
To get all this done. Who paid that money? Money siphoned to a certain organization with the promise of getting paid? or who made the promise. So
well,
it's a lot of assumptions, and I don't know, man. I mean, the more and more I think about this, even though these major league organizations were just looking at him as a talent when he got to, I guess, Mexico. I gotta believe that somewhere along the line, someone from these organizations siphoned some money somehow to get him to a certain spot and to get him released and to get him to a certain spot. But because there's so many hands in between, it's insulated the organization. And this is my assumption. It's insulated the organization, so it can't lead back to them in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I think that, and it's an atrocity to me. It really is. I really think that the Department of Justice, this is already a year gone by. And yes, the story just came out, and yes, this, that, and the third, but the kid had some information from somewhere. The guy in Miami, I think the guy that brokered the entire deal, who had the legal connections or whatever, who brokered the deal, you know, one, if you got a name, you at least can investigate. If you already know that this guy is doing shady stuff, I mean, hell, that's what we got Big Brother for. That's why you got these mosquito-sized microphones that fly around. I don't know if you guys know about this, but, you know, the government has a surveillance system that doesn't need to have somebody sitting on top of a rooftop or anything anymore. They have bug size and look-alike microphones that can fly around certain things and detect what's going on. You can't tell me you can't employ some of these tactics. And yes, they are on Americans. Get over that part. There's a lot of Americans doing a lot of shady stuff. Terrorists, illegal drugs, whatever. We just let a guy give $8 million to an organization for illegal activities. Again, I don't know what's going on. You know, Mr. Cantor needs to get off his butt or whatever and start some type of investigation. I don't know. But to have Major League Baseball know of the situation, whoever facilitated the workout, contacted these organizations came out, and the Dodgers won the bidding war. It's not like we're going over to Japan and you know, watching these pitchers pitch and then throwing tons of hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars at them. No, a guy was illegally smuggled into the country along with four or five other people. He's having to pay a great ton of money so that he and others won't die. And he has two organizations, illegal organizations, claiming the rights to him. And the Dodgers have bought 24-hour security for this guy. Because, and as I said before, the guy that died was, I think, two or three blocks away from where Puig was staying and the Dodgers were staying in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He got killed. And then there was somebody that showed up at a Dodgers game. I think it was a Dodgers game. A guy showed up at the Dodgers game looking for Puig and demanding money. This is not just you're playing a simple baseball activity. It's not. But yet, this guy comes out and plays, and we just look at him and let him play. Right now, on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino .com hotline, where winners win and players play. I believe we got my cousin who's going to come and talk about this. This is one day I'll probably just, you know, let them go off and say what he has to say, because it's I mean, to me, this is just not a situation where you can just, you know, say, well, it's baseball. It's the way the world works. No, it's not. It's what happens when we don't do what we say we're capable of doing and taking the measures that we say we're going to take in order to protect this country. Because if this one guy can come in and do this, guess what a real cartel or a real group of people can come into this country and do? We'll bring them in real quick. Mike, welcome to the show. You've been sitting on hold for a minute. We're still in the Yashua Puig thing. We'll let you get some words in before we move on. What you got?
What's up, Jerry? I don't have much to say. I mean, the only thing I got to say is, you know, this is the way the world works, and you're sleep or naive if you think otherwise. That's it.
Well, I wouldn't say people are naive, but the fact that, you know, we, as I said before, there was a report, a story on Yahoo that talked about how, you know, America, the government isn't as clean and squeaky as we would like or we think or is portrayed to be. There is no real democracy. It's really a dictatorship no matter who is.
I mean, Jimmy Carter told you a couple of years ago that this is not a democracy, which it is not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we could go all day about the government, but this is how you do business, man. This is how business is done. I mean, athletes from poor countries or poor backgrounds have been exploited in sports since the beginning. So, I mean, I am not surprised by none of this. I mean, you got with the increasing gap between the have and have-nots, and it's getting to be a Grand Canyon size, something will fill that void, because that is capitalism. That is how we operate. And it's been going on right before your eyes all your life. So that's what I'm saying to you. If you're surprised, you either naive or you sleep. Wake up. That's it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Because the cartel's been a problem in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas,
yep,
for years.
Yep.
What you think they don't got the internet? You know what I'm saying? You think they can't take classes online, kids? You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Wake up.
Again, it's not just about that part. It's the fact that it's so blatantly in your face with the situation. Yeah, I understand the whole thing. Trust me, I do. I believe Jerry does, you know, because of our background and what we've done. You know, we see, like, I'll give you an example. The Matrix, the movie. You know, the woman that wrote that movie, or those movies, you know, she really didn't get credit for it until after a long battle with the companies that were putting together whatever. But the movie itself is a big metaphor for the people in the world to open their eyes and see exactly what's in front of you for what it is. And, you know, to do things and just say, hey, you know what? This is what happened. He's not even listening. All right. To do things and just have it be so blatant in front of you and, you know, hey, yeah, we're Major League Baseball. Our hands are wiped clean of it. You know, all we know is this kid got to Mexico. He was a citizen of Mexico, and he wanted to come over here and play some baseball. You know, how stupid do you think America is? Or is America that stupid? I'll ask you that, Jerry, and hopefully Mike's finished with his, whatever he's doing. But do the powers that be feel as though that Americans are just that stupid, or we just don't care?
Don't care.
What do you think?
Don't care. Don't care. So wrapped up in their own lives that a lot of things take place, and it, as long as it doesn't affect their life directly, they don't care.
Okay.
I'm muted.
Same question to you, Mike.
I mean, it's the same thing I said earlier. I mean, Dre just said it a different way. You sleep. You're either naive or you sleep. You know what I'm saying? When you find out about these things, you either awaken, you know what I'm saying, and you call to action, you know what I'm saying? But America is sleep. We sleep. The sleeping giant, always sleep. Because you buried in whatever you chase, whatever dream, whatever that's got your goat, whatever bills you trying to pay, whatever you, as long as it don't affect, just like Jerry said, as long as it don't affect what they doing, they don't care. That's sleep. Definition of sleep.
Okay. Well, I mean, hopefully those that are listening to the show, you know, you might want to look into the situation. You might want to open up and see exactly what's going on. I'm not saying you change your political affiliation. I'm not saying you support this and you support that. But sports is a big business. It's a very big business. And people, for your entertainment purposes, you shouldn't just go along just to get along. Just think about the impact on a bigger scale. That's my thoughts on it. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, because we spent about 35-40 minutes on that topic, but when we come back, we're going to talk about who's flying up and who's flying down the NFL draft boards. Is it the fact that Blake Bortles is just that good? Is it that, you know, Bridgewater is just that bad? I don't know. Sit tight. We'll be back in a minute.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
I did not have any relation with that woman, but I do listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics at 6 p.m. on Saturdays with Victor Gardner and Rick Steven. Hillary, I need a big Bubba cheesesteak. Thank you, y'all.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP. I got to apologize to my co-host, JT ATM Money. I know he doesn't like one particular commercial I played, So I'm going to just apologize to him for playing it. I don't want to be upset or nothing like that. You good, JT?
No.
You said no.
I really wasn't paying attention to the commercials, man. I was into something else. So whatever you did whatever.
Okay. All right, well, check this out. New topic. Let's get a little lighter and a little bit happier up in here since you were on your for real happy chick. All these guys, the draft is a couple weeks away. And now you see there's some movement up and down draft boards. you know,
hate to say I told you so, but go ahead.
I mean, you can say whatever you want to say. It don't matter to me. But the thing is, who's flying up so fast and who's dropping? What do you see?
I see this, like I said before, and I'll keep on saying. And if you watch these mock drafts and these so-called experts on ESPN and Fox Sports Live, Fox Sports One, or the NFL Network, they're all starting to chime in. The same thing I've been saying since the end of the Super Bowl. None of these quarterbacks are worthy of number one picks, even though they're going to get picked in the first. But some of them are going to get picked lower than originally some of these analysts had pushed out there. Because the fact is, they're saying just the same thing I've been saying for the longest. There's no Andrew Luck. There's no RG3 worthy quarterbacks in this league. I mean, in this draft. There just aren't, regardless if it's Johnny Manziel or Teddy Bridgewater or Blake Bortles. They're all basically the same type of quarterback. That's exactly what I've been saying. Some of them are better at one phase of their game than the others, but they're all lumped together. They're basically the same type of quarterback. None of them really stand out from one another. So some of these quarterbacks, you thought they were going to get picked first, second, or third? Highly doubtful. A lot of these quarterbacks, I think, are going to be picked, except for maybe one, are going to be picked outside the top 10. Easily outside the top 10. May fall down to the later part of the draft. Some of these teams that have two picks are not going to take that quarterback with the first pick in the first round. They're going to take him in the later part of the first round with their second pick, like Cleveland. And I think St. Louis has two picks in the first round. So they may not take one of these so-called quarterbacks in the early pick in the first round. They'll take him with the late pick in the first round. And some of these guys are going to be picked in the second round, third round. Now, they're already talking about, and I just saw it twice yesterday, talking about my team taking Clowney first and running around and coming back and picking a quarterback. Maybe A.J. McCarron could be there, or Jimmy Garoppolo, something like that. But I'm saying none of these quarterbacks, even though some of them may get picked in the first round, they're not first-round worthy quarterbacks. They're all second, third-round worthy quarterbacks, but because of need, they're going to get picked in the first round.
Okay. Mike, what do you think about Teddy Bridgewater spending like 5 or 6 days with Minnesota? Now, normally, if you're a free agent, already in the league, already established, whatever, you know, you get that treatment. But this is a guy not even drafted yet, but he spent 5 or 6 days getting, you know, pampered or whatever by the Minnesota Vikings. What do you see, or what do you think?
I mean, I don't care about him or the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, I really don't think that much of him. And I definitely don't think that much of Minnesota, so I haven't even expended any energy on that. But I want to get to the mistake that Houston may be making. I know that Johnny Manziel is not RG3 or Luck or whatever. Hell, he's not even really first-round talent. None of them are. But you have to look at what the market has. This is why these sports dudes are terrible businessmen. You gotta look at what the market bids, man. And looking in that market, Johnny Manziel has got the most upside out of all these dudes. I'm sorry. I like the other guy, AJ McCarron. I like him. Bridgewater, he okay, but I like Jameis Winston better. But anyway, Manziel is the better pick out of all these dudes, man. And Manziel, the Clowney, it wouldn't be a bad pick if they did, but I just think they would be making a big mistake if they passed this dude up, man. This dude is the
okay.
Next. He's that next guy, man. Right after Aaron,
don't believe it.
He's that guy.
Don't believe the hype.
I don't want to say it the way, you know, because Victor don't know how to speak truth to power. He a little soft. Johnny Football, if you look at his face and stuff like that, he that next one, Jerry, if you know what I'm saying. He that next one.
Yeah, you know? I know you're talking about. But yeah, to me, don't believe the hype.
No,
that's to me.
He is. I'm telling you, he did.
Listen, I think that would be the person, if you want to go on in that route for that. But right now, I don't even think he would be the first quarterback taken. That's why I'm asking the question about, Bridgewater getting all this treatment in Minnesota. I mean, you give me your thoughts on that. I'm going to move to Jerry and see what Jerry thinks, because personally, I think Manziel will be the third or fourth quarterback taken in this draft. But what are your thoughts on Bridgewater and Minnesota, Jerry?
The powers that be, I don't care who's in Minnesota. They got a new coaching regime. But the powers in Minnesota, They struck out when they picked number 7 on Christian Ponder, and I think they're about to do the same thing if they're thinking about taking Teddy Bridgewater in the first round. He really scares me, because the simple fact is he didn't throw at the combine, and when his time was to shine, he was a little shaky. In fact, not a little shaky, he was very shaky. And maybe that's one day. Maybe it's not. But when you're going to be selecting your supposedly franchise quarterback, you better be damn sure of his ability and not have question marks on how well he's going to perform when the lights go on Sunday. And I have all kind of red flags to Teddy Bridgewater. He may be one of the quarterbacks that was supposedly so pro-ready. He may fall like a lead balloon in this draft because of the things that have been out there and the show he put on his pro day, which was all which was pretty bad.
Well, I think mainly because of what it is his pro day was like, that, there were some issues there that needed to be addressed. And Mike Zimmer, when he said he doesn't understand why everybody's on Johnny Manziel and this, that, and the third, and she's red flags, that they took a little closer look at what Bridgewater could do. And when they did that, it was more on the lines of him, being in a comfortable surrounding. I don't know if he threw with with Greg Jennings. I don't know if he threw with Kyle Rudolph. I don't know if he, you know, did whatever. But for 6 days, he had to do some type of workout with these players just to see, or some psychological testing to see if he would fit in and be able to do what Zimmerman wants done. I just think it's odd. Let me put it that way. It's odd that that would take place. And somebody not even in the league yet would spend that much time with one organization. You know, I thought it was different and a little weird. We lost my cousin, so I kind of put him on mute because of the car noise, but I'm not sure if he had to go or what have you. But anyway, you see that happening. Who do you see falling other than Bridgewater? Because like I said, I think that Manziel might be the third or fourth quarterback taken.
I see.
He'll go to the Raiders. He'll go to the Raiders. If he's there for the Raiders, he'll be a Raider. Let me put it that way.
You talking about quarterback? I see a lot of these quarterbacks falling. I see a lot of these quarterbacks falling. I don't think.
Who in general do you see falling the most? Whether it's a quarterback.
We've already talked about him. I think Bridgewater is going to fall the most. I really think Bridgewater is going to fall the most. And it could be, it's possible that Johnny Manziel falls too, because some of these teams that need quarterbacks also need also have to address other areas. And in order to do that, because the fact is, you see most of these quarterbacks are all lumped together. They may. And depending on what organization it is, they may decide to go to their other needs first and worry about the quarterback in the second round, because a lot of these quarterbacks are basically the same. That's the point I've been making. A lot of these quarterbacks are basically the same. Some do some things better than others, the skill set, but there's no really bang type of quarterback. Now, you can believe the hype if you want to, on Johnny Manziel. If you're looking to sell tickets and possibly some upside, you can draft Johnny Manziel. Say Cleveland, they have two picks. They may take him with their second pick in the first round. Or St. Louis or Jacksonville may decide to take him. I think they got the third pick, if I'm not mistaken. They may decide to take him with the third pick. But And to put some excitement into the ticket prices, because they need to get to sell tickets, because they have issues from Sunday to Sunday of avoiding a blackout because they don't
yep.
sell enough tickets. So
yep.
So depending on what organization it is, depends on how these quarterbacks shake out. I can see Bridgewater falling. I really do. I really believe that he was supposedly the top-rated quarterback, most pro-ready, but because of what's been going on and the negative stuff that's been going on, I can see him dropping big time. I can almost guarantee you, I put my house on it, I put everything I possibly own on it, that the Houston Texans will not take a quarterback in the first round. I mean, with the first pick, I should say. I can see them moving up from the first pick in the second round to somewhere in the first round to get the player that they want. Now, let me put it this way, and I can see the scenario happen. I can see that, and I'm being long-winded here, but I want to get this point out. Houston Texans taking Jadeveon Clowney with the first pick. I can see Cleveland, rather than take a quarterback with their first pick in the first round, with whatever, I think they're fourth, they'll take Sammy Watkins or maybe a offensive lineman, okay, to shore up the offensive line, and then try, and then with their, I think they have the 26th pick, if I'm not mistaken, get the
yeah.
quarterback that they want, whoever the quarterback may be. So I can also see a scenario that the Houston Texans thinking that the Cleveland Browns may take their quarterback that they want in the second round, moving up ahead of Cleveland and taking that same quarterback. So I can see a scenario like this, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. Them moving up ahead of Cleveland, and if Johnny Manziel was still there, them taking Johnny Manziel. So they have the better of both worlds. I can see that happening.
I can see that as well. I think that Sammy Watkins is going to Cleveland. You put him with Gordon, Ben Tate, if he can stay healthy, along with the tight end. And let's not forget, Bobby Hoyer isn't bad. He just got injured. Now, can he stay healthy for a year or two? We'll see. And you pair him with that defense, Cleveland would be, you know, just like the movie. Cleveland might be on the rise. They might be on the rise, brother. We'll see what happens. I mean, I can agree with what you just said right there. You know, unfortunately, a lot of these analysts don't think that a running back deserves to be in the first round this year. I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, Chris Johnson just went to your Jets, and if they're smart, they'll do a little read option with him and Michael Vick. And because he's way better than your boy Vince Young. So I think that would be great for both of them, for Mike Vick and for Chris Johnson. Now, that also says that Geno Smith, who can run the read option, would have a good opportunity to be a better quarterback. But the free fall of the quarterbacks in this draft is going to be crazy. With 29 young men have committed to coming to Radio City Music Hall this year. 29.
Okay.
That's the most ever.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those 29?
How many of those 29
are going to be sitting there for 3 days?
You and I both know that this is a pretty talent-laden draft other than quarterback. Basically, the quarterbacks are relatively the same type of skill set. But there's a lot of talent, especially in the offensive, defensive line.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, cornerbacks. There's a lot of talent throughout the skill sets of football players, taking away the quarterback. Because, like I said, most of these quarterbacks are basically the same. There's really no big standout quarterback in this draft, but there are standout players in other positions: defensive line, linebacker, offensive line, DBs and safeties. There's a lot of standout players that are above the rest of their counterparts. And like I said, the quarterback's not one of those positions. I see a lot of those type of players going early in the first round. Maybe sprinkled in with one quarterback, maybe two. I can't see two. I can possibly see one early, but a lot of these quarterbacks are not going to fly off the board early. And they're not worthy of it. And if you want to be, and a lot of these teams that are bad need a quarterback, but a lot of these teams, like I said earlier, have other needy positions also to that are better players than a quarterback would be if they picked them up early. So
I agree, my friend. You got Idris Williams in the chat room, which I want to give him a shout out. Thanks for hanging out in our chat room, Idris. We also have a caller from the 484. We'll bring them on real quick.
Where's that at?
484 is. I don't know what 484 is. We'll call from 484. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name and what you want to add to the conversation.
Hey, fuck you, cocksucking pussy bitch, motherfucker.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that. Thank you for calling in and letting us know how ignorant you are.
Yeah,
that's from,
really.
That's from a nice caller from Pennsylvania. We appreciate your call, even though you wanted to show how ignorant you are. Thanks for calling, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I wonder, was that a Teddy Bridgewater fan? I don't know. But it is what it is.
It is what it is, yep.
Let's move on to another topic, which is NBA playoffs. Talk to me, JT. Well, first let me tell you this. Let me give some lines on these games. And I can't believe these lines. I really can't. Memphis is a 7.5-point dog to Oklahoma City.
Wow, really?
Yes. Atlanta, 7.5-point dog to the Pacers. Golden State, 7.5-point dog to the Clippers.
I can see that.
I don't know. I think Golden State can shoot with them, guy. But check this out. The Mavericks, 9.5 dogs to the Spurs. The Bobcats, 9.5 dogs to Miami.
I can see that.
This one I don't get. I really don't get. I don't even think the Wizards are that good. I love my Wizards. I don't think they're that good. 4.5-point dog to Chicago. I would think Chicago would be favorite to win by like maybe 7 or 10, but not. And Portland, and I think this is reversed because Houston has not been that good, but Portland, 5-point dogs to the Rockets.
I can believe
Let's
that.
Talk about these games. Talk to me, guy.
Well, I can believe, even though, well, let me put it this way. The last game, I'll go first. Both those teams don't play defense. Both those teams are offensive teams, and all the who's going to outscore who. Quite naturally, I think Houston has the better record, if I'm not mistaken. So they have home court advantage. So I can see in the first game Houston winning that by, what, 5, 5.5? Is that what it said? I can see that.
Okay.
Memphis is playing who? They're playing Oklahoma, right?
Yep, Oklahoma City. And they're
Memphis is one of the better deep
dogs.
I'm surprised about that. When you say 7.5-point dog, 7-point dog, I'm surprised about that because Memphis is a very, very good defensive team, and they do give Oklahoma City fits. If I was a betting man, I would put money on that, especially in the first game. I know it's in Oklahoma, but I would put money on that Memphis would keep that closer than 7.5 points. I can see San Antonio beating Dallas. Dallas is not at the same Dallas team as they were when they won a championship. So I can see San Antonio. They're not a glamorous team, but they're a solid team, and they've arrested team wearing Dallas out. I can definitely see that. I think they're going to be dispatched quick and efficiently by San Antonio. The Spurs,
9.5?
I can see that. I can see that. Absolutely. Absolutely. the Clippers and the Golden State Warriors, what's the point? 7.5?
Yeah.
These two teams, if I'm not mistaken, they've been talking smack about each other this past week or past few days, and they really can't stand each other at all. I mean, they really hate each other. These two teams. I would put. I think Golden State's going to give the Clippers their best shot, quite naturally, in the first game, and I would venture to say that they would keep it closer than seven and a half to seven, whatever it is. Even though, like I said, these two teams do not like each other at all. I mean, they really do not like each other at all. And Mark Jackson, believe it or not, is probably coaching for
his job.
State. Yeah, coaching for his job if he doesn't win the playoff series. But I don't think Golden State has enough ammo to sustain themselves against the Clippers and Doc Rivers and company. First game close. After that, I think it's a wrap. Let me put it that way. Go ahead.
You think that the Clippers, who have some injury problems of their own, are just that far superior than?
Yes. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. You got a Chris Paul, healthy Chris Paul. Excuse me. You got a healthy Chris Paul, and you got a more mature, mentally and physically, Blake Griffin. Just to name those two. And I don't think they can deal with that. Unless one of those two players gets hurt, I think Clippers have a close game against Golden State in the first game, and then it's a wrap from there. I really believe, because if the Golden State loses to the Clippers in the first game, they're going to have a very tough time trying to win another game from the Clippers, even when they go back to Golden State. So I like Mark Jackson, but the ownership has very little patience, and he may not weather the storm if they lose the series to the Clippers. So, and I think they will.
You know what? And the sad thing is, he's finally shaped that team into what he wants it to be.
Yep.
An up and down team, a very aggressive team, a team that plays defense. Andrew Bogut losing getting his rib broke, that's going to hurt him big
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got Spate, who can play defense, but he's not a scorer. You got Jermaine O'Neal, who can play defense, very little score. You know, that leaves it up to the Splash Brothers and some outside shooting. You know, Danny Granger is supposed to be back for the Clippers, but he really doesn't have that big of a role. You know, he comes in spotting. The Clippers are deep. The Clippers are deep. And Doc, I mean, he knows what he's doing. And here's the deal. I'll put it like this. If Mark Jackson gets fired, this is a five-game series, right? Best of five. So
mm-hmm.
let's say they lose today, Monday or Tuesday and Thursday. By next Saturday, he'll be introduced as the new New York Knicks head coach.
You really think that, huh?
I think that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that. And I know he doesn't run the triangle. I know he doesn't do that. But you got to think about it. He's a beloved Knick. He has experience. He's going to a weaker conference with the possibility of having a couple of better stars than what he has. Now, granted, Steph Curry is a budding star and a good player, excellent player. But if you can have Carmelo versus Steph, or a couple of players the caliber of Melo on your team because you're not cash strapped, then, you know, it's a good idea. That's a big splash that, you know, Phil Jackson could make and, you know, the city would give him a little leeway. Former New York Knickerbocker, good coach, feels that he was let loose unjustly, can easily win the East, the Northeast Conference or portion of the Eastern Conference. You know, it'll be them, it'll be the Pacers, and it'll be the Heat. So that would be ideal in my book. That's just what I think. We got about 10 minutes left alive there. Is there any other games you want to talk about before I go to the internet?
No. Go right ahead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, real quick, down and dirty. The UFC is on Fox tonight. The headliner is a five-round heavyweight bout between the number two heavyweight contender, Fabrico Verdum, versus the number three contender, Travis Brown. Verdum is 17-5-1. Brown is 16-1-1. Now, Verdum, he pretty much submits you. 53% of his wins come by submission, but Travis Brown is a home run hitter. 75% of his wins have come by knockout. Neither one of these guys like to go to a decision. So that says it should be a good fight. It should be a good fight. Verdum is one of these guys. He's slippery. I think, because I don't know if Travis Brown has ever been, he only has one loss, but I don't know his pedigree on the ground. But his takedown defense, he does not get taken down very well, but he takes people down pretty well. So in this matchup, you know, 3-2, Travis Brown is a guy that's on the rise. Fabrico has been hot lately. I'm going to give it to Fabrico by decision, but an exciting fight. Then you have the women on tap. Misha Tate versus Liz Carmouche. Now, Carmouche is a pretty good fighter, but Misha Tate's daggone good. It's unfortunate. Well, it's not unfortunate, but she can't beat Ronda Rousey, so she's going to be relegated to the number two or number three fighter in this weight class for a while. It's a 135-pound weight class. She's 13-5 versus Liz Carmouche, the gorilla, who is 84. Now, Carmouche is the one that had a neck crank on Ronda Rousey, and everybody thought she was going to win. Misha Tate is the one that Ronda Rousey was just like totally disrespected this young lady because of the way Misha Tate was talking to her and handled her and was acting toward her. The better fighter is Tate, but I think Carmouche is going to pull an upset. I think Carmouche is going to come in there and get Misha on the ground, and Misha is a pretty good wrestler, but get her on the ground and submit her. I don't know how, but I think she's going to submit her. Then in another bout on the main card, you've got in the 155-pound weight class, Donald Cowboy Cerrone versus number 12, Edison Jr. Barboza. Now, Barboza was one of these guys that was coming in and coming up really, really strong and very good, but he suffered a loss in a devastating fashion. And the Cowboy has been doing pretty good. It's like he's hit his stride. He's 22-6. 64% of his wins come by submission. 69% of Edison Barboza's wins come by knockout. So you got a guy that likes to knock people out versus a guy that likes to take people down or get him in some type of submission. This is going to be probably, in my opinion, the fight of the night. Donald Cerrone, I think he's going to continue on his win streak and take out the young lad and give him a second loss. Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. Last fight in the main card features 185-pound weight class where you got Brad Tavares versus, who's number 13, versus Yoel
Soldier of God, Romero. This guy is 7-1. Romero is. Every win has come by knockout. Every win, I say again, has come by knockout. A third of Brad Tavares' wins have come by KO, half by decision. Now, here's the deal. I saw Romero in a fight, and he was getting dealt with pretty well, and he came up with a leaping knee and knocked the guy out. This kid has heart. The thing is, at 7-1, I think he's going there against Tavares, who is a pretty good fighter, who's 12-2, by the way, who has been in a couple wars. I think Brad Tavares is going to get the decision over Romero, mainly because I don't think Romero is going to knock him out. I don't think he's going to get a decision either. But that's the main card. You got some good fights on the undercard. We're not going to get into that right now. But you see the undercard and the main card on Fox Sports 1 starting at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. If you want to see some other stuff, it's on UFC Fight Pass. You got like three fights on the prelims that they're okay. But check it out. Should be a good night of mixed martial arts. With that being said, JTATM Money, we got 3 minutes left of live here. Let's toss it up real quick. What do you got to say?
All I got to say is I don't watch too much basketball. I'm not going to be watching probably any of these playoffs, so I'm going to be relying on Victor and whoever else I talk to on any of these shows about it. My focus right now is whooping Victor's butt, even though it doesn't look good right now. Things are about to change dramatically within the next few hours. So, and then Victor is going to be going down hard. That's all I can say. You're going to be going down hard. And more to come on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where the master plan will unveil my master plan to complete this ass-kicking of Victor.
Well, since you brought it up, Mr. Taylor, right now the score is 12-7 in my favor. Slight lead in pitches, innings pitch, one game lead in wins, two game lead in the loss column. We both have done pretty well because you drafted for your bats, I drafted for my pitching. And right now my pitching is out for bats.
Not by much.
It's okay, Mr. Taylor. I'm comfortable with what is going on. I want to congratulate you on picking up Gattis. He was one of my guys that I wanted to get, but I couldn't choose between him and Torrey Hunter, so I picked Torrey Hunter. But Gattis is a guy that I think is going to serve you well, especially at the catcher position.
Mm-hmm.
Although he does strike out a lot, that is the one problem.
Yesterday he's been hot, but quite naturally, this is how my luck's been going. Yesterday, I watched the Met game yesterday because I wanted to see, especially Gattis, and everybody around him, in front of him and in back of him, were getting freaking hits, except for him. So I was pretty upset about that. But we'll see what happens in today's game.
And just an update for you. Jose Reyes is 1-for-3 with an RBI.
Yep. But he's not in your lineup because you didn't have the guts to put him in there. But that's okay.
It's okay. Tomorrow is another day.
And that's where he's going to do. That's what he's going to do is Ofer.
Whatever. We're now over in overtime.
Okay, no problem.
Some money. You're my guy, my man, 50 grand. Appreciate you, do what you do. Tomorrow, if you text me or whatever, I might be able to get up on Easter Sunday and talk to you and help you out. I know I'm going to put this turkey in the oven tonight because we're going to have turkey for dinner.
Ooh, you cooking?
Sunday. Yeah, Slim. I'm doing collard greens.
You cook?
Turkey. Slim, how do you think I got this woman? I just let it all go when she decided she wanted to feed me and make me fat. I said, fine, go right ahead. But anyway.
Okay.
That's what's going on. So probably tomorrow I'll call and help you out. If not, just give me a call before the show if you want me to come on. And I'll get up and I'll hang out with you. With that being said, young man, I want to thank my cousin for coming on and getting his thoughts on the topics. I want to thank whoever that was from the Pennsylvania area for coming on and showing their ignorance. And then I hung up on them because I didn't want them to go any further. But if my cousin was still online, I probably would have screened that call. I probably would have screened it. But we'll see. I think his name was Idris Williams. Because at the same time that he was in the chat room, was the same time he called. So Idris Williams, if I ever see you again, I got something for you, homie. With that being said, let's get out of here, JT. What you got?
Well, this is what I got. I hope everyone has a happy Easter. Enjoy this wonderful weekend wherever you are. And from Vic and I and all the FSP crew and FSP organization, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.